God of fire and God of soap, we ask today that you would refine us, that you would clean us, so that my words may be a proper reflection of your call to this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So several years ago, while I was in seminary, a friend of mine was taking this girl he really liked on a second date. And they both were outdoorsy kind of people. So they decided that they were going to take a trip to the Appalachia foothills, not far from where we went to seminary, for a nice short hike. They both thought they were going for, you know, they both up for kind of a short hike, but a little longer. And they got to the place that they were going, and they assumed that this trail was a loop. And they started on their way. The hike seemed to go on and on and on, and they kept thinking, well, surely the parking lot has to be just a little further down here. We're looping around. Like, it's just got to be just a little further. Let's just keep going. And before they knew it, the sun was beginning to set. And they started to panic a little bit. My buddy had brought only a power bar and one bottle of water with him, not planning on a disaster to happen. So they kept walking, hoping that they would get to the entrance of a road or to the parking lot, but no luck. It is now too dark to continue, and they were lost. And they're out in the middle of Appalachia, so their phones are absolutely worthless in this situation. So what do? They hunker down. They grabbed a couple leafy branches, and it was starting to get a little cold. And they, by the way, this is their second date. They spooned each other and had the branches on top of them to keep warm. And they're there all night on the mountain. The next morning, they get up when daylight breaks. They find their way back to the trail, to the main road, and where a generous man picks them up, drives them to their car several miles down the road. The trail was not a loop. It was never going to loop. This date that started with such good intentions, a promise of a nice hike in the mountains, and they end up lost, covered in darkness, unsure of what direction they should go. Now, the crazy part of this story is that these two ended up getting married 2 years ago, two years later. And who said relationships that start under intense circumstances never last, right? The returning Jewish exiles had come to Jerusalem, and they had come with good intentions. They desired to come back to the land that God had promised them, and they were making such incredible promise. They had been in exile for so long. They had come back. They rebuilt the temple. They started worship again as God had intended. Yet somewhere along the way, as they were getting started and bringing this back, they lost their path. They got off the trail that God had laid out for them. Now, there were a lot of obstacles in their way. They had a lack of resources. They had foreign nations working against them. And there was a general fatigue about rebuilding a whole nation that had been utterly destroyed. This was hard work, and they were exhausted. And Malachi, this prophet, comes and sees what's happening, and he is upset. He's mad. says the priests were making improper sacrifices. They were failing to give God what was asked of them. Rampant infidelity also plagued the Jewish men. They were trying to find an outlet for their frustrations by giving in to their most base desires. The Jewish people in general were angry because of a lack of progress in Jerusalem. They started to doubt whether this was all worth it. Did God bring us out here to suffer more? We had it pretty good in Babylon. We had businesses, we had homes, we had gardens. Maybe we should go back there. Malachi could see how lost they were and began preaching basically one message. If you want Israel to return to its former glory, you need to get back to the bare essentials. Back to the basic principles of the covenant formed hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Serve your Lord God and serve your neighbor. Get back on track. Give God the proper offerings, a sacrifice not just of your excess, but of true value and meaning. Be faithful in your relationships. How you treat one another speaks volumes about how you'll treat your Lord God. And keep the faith. Even when things are not going according to plan, nobody said this was going to be easy. And so he talks about cleansing. He talks about this refining fire. And he talks about this fuller soap. And he says, this cleansing will happen with or without your help. You can get back on the proper path yourselves, or God is going to do it for you. And the latter may not be so pleasant, because a messenger of the Lord is coming, a judge is coming. If you're not ready, you'll be made ready. Now, you'll notice that Malachi is pretty vague on who this messenger of the Lord will be. Later on, Christians came to understand it to be John the Baptist, right? Who sounded much like Malachi. Though Malachi doesn't specify who, he specifies what this messenger will do. He will bring the refiner's fire, the fuller soap, to refine and to cleanse the Jewish people until they are able to give to God a proper offering, a proper sacrifice. So can anybody tell me in here what a fuller is? What a fuller did? Does anybody in here even know what that is? They talk about fuller soap, which, by the way, this is the nice soap that we use on our bodies when we go to the shower. Fuller soap, burned. What? Who's a fuller? What did a fuller do? Anybody, raise your hands. Anybody in here know what a fuller is? What? Did I hear whispers? Anybody know? No? What's that? Fuller brush man. What do you mean by that, Nancy?
He was a traveling salesman that came door to door.
And what did he offer?
Mops.
And brooms. Cleaning. I hear cleaning back here. Yes, cleaning is a part of that, Carol. Yes. So a fuller was responsible for taking a piece of fabric that had just been woven, cleaning it, beating it, and like the whole nine yards, cleaning it with soap and like making it fuller. That's the idea. That's what fuller is. It's a full, making the cloth kind of become what it is, which you understand as a piece of cloth. And this was an intense, powerful process that you had to do. And it was like, you were putting true elbow grease into this thing. You were taking this piece of cloth, you're cleaning it, you're beating it, you're putting water on it, you're beating it, you're scrubbing it, doing some more, and you're going through this process. I don't know about you, but that sounds terrifying. God's going to use the Fuller soap on me? That probably means he's going to be doing the other things too. And that sounds pretty unpleasant. Pretty scary, as Don just said. Absolutely. I would maybe prefer to go get back on path myself than have God turn the Fuller soap on me. It was made of this alkali from ashes, and it was used to clean and thicken the cloth. And, you know, I'm pretty sure many of us would not volunteer ourselves to be put through the ringer. Now, probably the second image is something that you all have seen or heard of before, the refiner's fire. The closest example I have seen to this is glass blowers. Y'all have ever seen that, where you've gone and seen the furnace they use? One of the places that Ann and I always stop when we're traveling to Virginia is Tamarack in West Virginia, and there's a person there that has the fire, the furnace, and they're working on glass. And when he opens that door, and you see that the orange is at the front, and then it becomes this like yellow that just glows, the most terrifying fire that you feel like if you put your hand in there and you took it out, it would just be gone altogether. And you're like, whoa, that is one hot fire. And that is a little bit what you're getting at with the refiner's fire that Malachi is talking about here. This fire that burns out impurities and silver and gold, right? And that's the process that they had to go through with the silver in order to purify it, to clean it. It had to go through fire, and then they would treat it with charcoal, and then they would put it back in the fire until the silver was ready and perfect. And the scholar, Ralph Smith, talked about this process that the refiner only knew it was done when he took the silver out and could see his own image reflected back at him or her in the silver. Do you get the power of that statement? It was brilliant. I wish I'd come up with it. The refiner only knows the process is done when they can see their own image reflected back to them. We are people who are said to be made in what? God's image. So when we are purified, we then become a true reflection of God's image as we were created. The refiner's fire purifying us so that we may be that reflection. So here's the million-dollar question for all of us in here today. What needs to be burned out of our lives? I just knocked that one out. What needs to be burned out of our lives so that we can give proper sacrifices? What needs to go away so that we may be able to make a proper sacrifice to the Lord? Because God is offering this refiner's fire, this Fuller soap, each and every day. And we can resist this process, or we can say, God, cleanse me. Cleanse me, Lord, so that I may be able to walk your path. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.